Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this day we live in, for this wonderful generation, Lord, a people that will see the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Though it is a wonderful generation to live in, Father, as far as your believers are concerned, Lord, we are expecting the return of Jesus Christ. But as for the people of the world, Lord, we know there's a lot of distress, a lot of tumultuous events that are happening that cause a lot of pain and sorrow and destruction, and there are persecutions and death and so many different kind of disaster as far as mankind are trying to find a solution, Lord, to bring about peace. We know it would never be. And besides that, Father, we know that men have destroyed this earth by their corruption and the greed, oh Lord, to live a life that just satisfy their flesh, and so much so, Lord, this whole earth is sick and is travailing, Lord, and causes so much changes in the weather system, and we see droughts in different parts of the world, and we see famine because there's no water, and then in other parts of the world where it shouldn't have happened, but it did, Lord, because the water are being pulled to one side, and because of the higher pressure and lower pressure, and because of all that deforestation that causes all this, and it brings about flooding, oh Lord, there's typhoon, there is cyclone and tornado and hurricanes or whatever. So Father, we know that this life that we live at this present time now as your people, as children of the living God, may we be found worthy, O Lord, of your salvation, of what Christ has done for us. Truly, Lord, our life should be a life that pleases you, Lord. Father, as you approach the subject this morning now of your approaching war, we ask the Lord, we consider the time that we live in now. So we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your blessing. Amen. Now, we have a beautiful earth. And everybody look at the earth from the heavens and we say, wow, that's a beautiful earth we are looking at. And I think it's, if you are an astronaut or a cosmonaut, if you ever go out to space and just look back on the earth, you'll find it's just so beautiful. It really is remarkable, you know. And yet, it looks so beautiful, so peaceful, you know, supporting life. And yet, if any alien would come down to this earth, it'd be full of surprises for them. Right? Isn't it true? You know, we see a lot of disaster, a lot of pain. But the worst thing that the natural phenomena, as we see today, the caused by, you know, the greed of men who want to make money, and, you know, all this fossil burning, deforestation, and all this causes all this problem of this earth. That's just one thing, you know. But because of greed and all the strife, the Bible tells us that in the end time, men will get more evil and more wicked. And God has to put a stop to it, or else men will destroy themselves. Yes, that is true. Mankind will destroy themselves, you know. So, God has to do something to prevent it. But now we are living at this present time. We are seeing a lot of things that is happening. Here we are living in Singapore. We may not realize how much problem, how much pain and sorrow that many people in the Middle East and those who are living in even in Europe today are suffering. Those migrants and the civil unrest that is happening, you know. And we hear of wars being fought ever so often, and suicide bombers and all, but blowing themselves up and killing maybe dozens of people around about them. Right. But even with this beautiful earth, there is going to come a very big war that is to be fought. Boom. And we are talking about the invasion against Israel. How close are we at? Now we have all these events that we read in the paper every day, or in the news media, we hear them every day. Unless you don't read the paper, unless you don't watch the news on your television, and many times if you have just only CNA, you don't get very much. Because the CNN is Asia, so there's not much report concerning the West, Europe, or in the Middle East. But you want to know what's going on out there really. How close we are to this particular war that the Bible describes is coming to pass. You have to go to channels like RT.com. And they will have a lot of exposure for the public on all these issues right there in the Middle East, as far as even Russia and America is concerned. Alright. So this is what we are looking at. So now, let us look into a few verses of scripture before we proceed. Go to the book of Jeremiah. And I expect you to look into it, because we are talking about this invasion against Israel. Jeremiah chapter 49. I want to pick three scriptures in this chapter of this book. There are many verses of scripture in the Old Testament that actually prophesied about the invasion of Israel. Sometimes we read the Old Testament, we may not realize that it is talking about our present day, because only the verse will show certain reason why it must be happening in the last day. We see parallel. We see that Israel have always been attacked by the Ammonites, the Amalekites, the Moabites, you know, the Philistines. But sometimes we read it, there are certain verses in scripture that actually throw it into the future, because there are certain things that happened already in the Old Testament never did fulfill those particular verses. So in chapter 49, verse 2, "Therefore behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rahab, Rabbah, of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughter shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord." Now, we look at the Old Testament, we have always all these ancient names that we don't get it now. Alright, the Ammonites. Ammon is no longer here on this earth as a nation where they had a boundary like they have in the Old Testament time. So, as far as Ammonites are concerned, who are they? In what area are they pointing to? It is pointing to the area east of the river Jordan. Okay, east of the river Jordan, you know where the Dead Sea is, don't you? And you know where Jerusalem is, don't you? And that's, of course, unless you do not know. Jerusalem is west of the Dead Sea. Okay? Not far from the Dead Sea. And Ammon is on the other side of the Dead Sea, where today we have Jordan. Okay, so now we look at another verse. Now we talk about, "Behold, the day come, I will cause an alarm of war." And now we know that already it has been, since Israel came back as a nation in 1948, all those nations round about Israel, they all hop up against Israel and want to put Israel to the sea. and draw them and let Israel be no more. Right. So now we look at verse 8. Flee ye, turn back, draw deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. Now, Dedan is speaking about Saudi Arabia. Okay, we have more information later on as we go along. And that's Dedan. Esau, you know who Esau really was, you know. And how many of you know who Esau was? Who? Who was his brother? Jacob. Alright. Esau was the one who sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. And so Esau's descendants are called the Edomites. But today, who are the Edomites? Of course, they are already mixed up there, and you know. Like today, here we are, I call ourselves Singaporean. Oh yeah, but I still have my root being that I'm a Chinese. But if the Chinese marry the Indian and then become, you have a child that is what do you call the Chinese Indian? Chindian. And then if he marries a Filipino, and then what have you? What do you have? It becomes source of China. So, you know, hybrid it, and you don't even know what is his real, you know, race is really. You know, but you might say that if his father is a Chinese, married an Indian, and then his children married a Filipino, he's still Chinese, because the surname is Chinese, right? Yeah, that may be true, but the gene pool is of Chinese is already been watered down. So the same thing out there, it's a lot of mixture, but still, their identification. Some people are still quite pure as far as the Edomites are concerned, or the Ammonites, but of course they are today generally called Arabs. Okay? So now in this verse says, free ye, turn back, draw now, O ye, O ye inhabitants of Dedan. I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him. The time that I will visit Esau is still on the east of, or down south of the Dead Sea. Okay? So you know all those areas are mixed with the Palestinian people, the Jordanian people, all this on the down southeast of the Dead Sea. Many of them, of course, are Arab dwelling out there. Okay? And mixed with the Saudi and all that stuff. But with further more detail. But here is one particular thing is that he said, flee, turn back. Now, God is here warning Dedan or Saudi Arabia, alright, to get away. But we will see in other places of scripture that they don't take heed. Alright, let's go to verse 19. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the inhabitant of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? God is warning against those who come against Israel. Alright. So these are just three of those scriptures that we see is going to, that talks about this coming war that we are seeing. Alright. Now we are looking at now Ezekiel 28, verse 24-26. These next two texts of scripture are more important for us to look at it. So let us look at it. I know that a lot of people are looking at prophecy today, especially a lot of us are looking at Christians are looking at the Middle East. When is this war going to be? Before when the Christ is going to come? They are all excited. Right? We know that it won't be long that this war will have taken place. Alright? Ezekiel 28, 24 to verse 26. Alright. 28, 24 to verse 26. And there shall be no more a prickling briar unto the house of Israel. nor any grieving tone of all that are round about them, that despise them. And they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And we know that God have already brought all these Jews since after the Second World War back to the homeland. Okay. And all this is what we are looking at, the prophecy. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses, and plant vineyard. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them around about. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. So here, God already gave this all, this prophecy through Ezekiel. I bring all my people back, they dwell safely. Even as we read, next time when we go into further into Ezekiel 38, 39, we see that as the Bible said, that they dwell without walls. Huh? The people of Israel dwell without walls. Yes, they are dwelling safely. Now, I have this friend of mine, I told you before, and a Presbyterian believer, and he was telling me, he said, no, it cannot be, this is not a prophecy. Ezekiel 38, 39 has nothing to do with this coming war. Before the rapture, he said he believed that it was the same war as one would read over in the book of Revelation called Gog and Magog. Is that right? So that he was putting it there. And he told me the reason it is because Israel today, do they dwell safely? They have no walls around to protect them. So the imagination is that when you read the Bible like this, you think that the Bible said they dwell safely without walls. So you are thinking, well, Israel today, there is no wall. How can they be dwelling safely? It's an expression. It's an euphemism. That means to say that they dwell safely without war. Without war means to say they have military security. Do you understand? Now, do you know that the tourist goes to Israel today, they are not afraid. Because there is actually a wall of protection, or what we call military protection. They have all those security there. Do you understand that? So people are thinking about having a wall built around the whole of the nation of Israel. That's not what it means. You see? So here they said, the Bible here in verse 26, and they build houses and they plant vineyard, and they shall dwell with confidence. Well, first of all, also not because just the military power that they have, or security that they have, but also God is their protection. Is that right? Alright. So now this is one of the things that we read here in Ezekiel. But let us read in another verse here. Psalms 83. Now, Psalms 83 is a song, but a song that is also a prophecy. Alright, it's a song, but it's also a song with a prophecy which is very well known, and that's a psalms concerning a war that must be fought. How many wars would there be fought before the Lord Jesus comes? Huh? How many wars do you think is going to be fought? How many invasion against Israel will be made before Jesus Christ actually will come? Now, of course, when we said that, those said, are you saying that this thing must happen before Christ comes? Say, yes, the answer is yes. But the Bible said, no man know the hour and the days when Christ will come. He may come in the morning, evening, afternoon, and midnight, something like that, right? So, that's the idea, because the Bible gives this impression. So, you think that Jesus can come anytime. You understand? And there is the parables, you know, about Jesus, you know, the householder went on a journey to do his business, you know, and asked the servant to watch in case, you know, that he doesn't know when he's going to come back. So, everybody had this idea. Jesus was presenting a parable at that time. He was saying things that, of course, he doesn't know. Because when Jesus was on earth, he didn't know everything. If you were here on Friday, that we have discussed. Jesus Christ did not know everything. He learns as he grew. Even when he became baptized, he still was thinking that the disciple understood what he's trying to tell them. And they were asking, Jesus, when are we going to have our kingdom back? Jesus Christ said, I don't know, is this in the hand of the Father? You know. You see. Though we know that Jesus can know that he has to do a ministry, he knows that he has to die, but he doesn't know how he feels until at the last part of his life. You know what I'm saying? At the last part of his life. You see. And then when he resurrected and settled into heaven, then he was given all things. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me now. You know. So he knows everything now. But when he was on earth, he was human, as human could be. That's why he said, I'm the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he's not greater than the Father. You see. But that's why he subjects himself to the Father to learn. So people, you know, one thing for sure, brother and sister, if this year, 2015, is the year 1955 or the year 1975. I don't think we know so much of the truth today. The truth that we know today would not be known at that time, in 1975 or even 1985. Because why? Revelation of God is progressive. We know more today than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You agree with me? Because why God has unfolded his word to make us see the picture. And Jesus told the disciples, I cannot show you everything now. But when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you and show you all things. And bring all things to remember and show you things to come. You see. And so when the Holy Spirit guides us and shows us, he do it little by little, not all at one time. Nobody could do that. We all go to school, from primary school, or even kindergarten, start all the way up. You cannot all of a sudden, when you are 7 years old, dump your son into a secondary school. That's ridiculous nonsense. You see. Alright, so when we look into the scripture, we realize then that we're living in this precious time. That there are actually two wars, or two invasions, that are coming against Israel. And the thing that we are looking at now, what we are looking at in Psalms 83. Alright. Psalms 83 verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. And be not still, O God. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. And counsel against the hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. Sounds familiar? Sounds familiar? That look at what happened since that Israel became a nation in 1948. The moment they became a nation, the southern nations start to plan and, you know, fight against them. And in 67, you see how all of a sudden you see all those nations run about. Something like Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon. And what is the common word today that we hear spoken by the Islamic? I don't know whether it is true of all Muslims or not, whether you are extremist or moderate, they will say, down with Israel. I mean, there is a great hatred for Israel. A great hatred for the Jew. Because the devil had people to believe that the problems of the world came about because of those with hooked nose. You know, hooked nose? The Jews are supposed to be people with hooked nose. They blame all the wars of the world on Israel. But we know that this is a problem that started. You don't find it in the Quran in the first place. Because there is in the Quran there is some verses, some passage that to rely upon this, even the children of Israel. Concerning the books that they have, there are a lot of good things said about it in one place, and yet in another place they consider heretics. And all those who do not believe in the Prophet Muhammad, they are considered heretics. But today we see, of course, you have the Shiite, the Sunni, the moderate, and the extremists. So, well, what's happening? That in general, what is the outcry? Here in Singapore, we don't hear people, someone will go out there unless he wants to get trouble with the law. You know? Death to Israel! I don't think anybody will do that. Here in Singapore, we don't draw caricature or you know, to despise the Prophet Muhammad or even any of the religious figure, because we want to live in religious harmony. Live and let live and respect the other person's religion, even though we believe it is not true or whether we believe that it's okay. Everybody has their own religious faith. So we don't hear it here. That's why we have peace. But over out there where lands are free, politicians say we need freedom, democracy, say whatever you want and all that thing. And then on the other hand, the extremists want to bring in the Sharia laws. Even though you are not of their religion, they want to apply it on you. So we have all this kind of spirit that's going on in the world today. But generally what we read in the Bible is true, you can't deny it. Drive Israel into the sea. Is that what we hear? Huh? Often? Men like President Ahmadinejad. Right? You hear it in Iran, even the Ayatollah. You know. Anyone down there in the Palestinian, the PLO, the Hamas? Down to Israel, down to Israel. Through the Middle Sea. And this is what the Bible said. And it says, and they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Let them be no more. And I say this. We know the Bible said it's true. If Israel cease to exist, then what? The whole world will cease to exist. Right? Because the purpose of God was through Israel, already chosen before the foundation of war as a nation. That the oracles, His oracles, will be written and given to mankind. So if God's oracles are true, and it concerns Israel, and concerns salvation and His purpose, then how can Israel cease to be a nation? So in vain, the vanities of these people to try to destroy Israel. It's just pathetic. And it is prophesied already. Now if you want to take this Bible verse and show it to those who are extremists and say, now we hate Israel, Israel should be driven to the sea. Show them what the scriptures say. What do you think they will say? Right? These were written how many hundreds of years ago? Even before you said to drive them down into the sea. Because back then already you have all those who are about Israel. They are always trying to attack Israel. Because the land of Canaan was a chosen land that God gave to Israel. But they are looking at it because what's there? What's there on the land, in the land of Israel? What's there in the land of Canaan? Is there oil there in the land of Canaan? I mean, today we talk about it. They said they're supposed to find oil underneath the sea. But underneath, I mean, Israel, somewhere down the coast. But let us just look at this Bible. In those days, what were the people, what do the people of the nation know about? They fought against Israel. What are they looking? What were they looking for in that land?
What's so special about that land?
Oh, it's a land flowing in milk and honey. Yeah, we know that. But what happened after Israel was scattered in 1970-80? And then returned back in 1948. What happened to that land? The land became a desert. Just become wild. Nothing grows there. You see, the problem we have is people want to take over somebody's country when everything is nice. And if they took over, then what happened? 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, what happened to that land? You know, when I was in Africa, I was in Uganda, Kenya, we traveled. I saw farmland. And then, strangely enough, there was some kind of irrigation. Artisan well, little irrigation dam that tried to bring water to the field. I saw it was there, and then I looked at the field. The field was not cultivated. So I asked the brothers what happened. He said, but again, the Chinese came here to help the people. But when they trained the people all about how to use this, system. So when the Chinese went back to China, this is what happened. You see what I'm talking about? People do not want to possess the land because they want the land. They want to possess the land, they want to wipe out the people. That's why Hitler did. Death to the Jews. Right? It's because of their extreme hatred. Yes. And that's why we just wait till the Satan incarnate into the man of sin. And you will see that excessive hatred. Because sin has always been trying to kill the word of God because of what God stripped of his power. And after God stripped of his power. Alright, let's go on verse 5. For they have counseled together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. They are confederate, are they not? They all get together as one. Yeah, right. The tabernacle of Edom. The Ishmaelite of Moab. The Hagarines. Geba. And Ammon. And Amalek. The Philistine with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asus also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Okay, the rest of that is God is the summons wrote and asked God to deal with these people as he had dealt with those before them. Alright, let's look at it. Now, there are 21 Arab states. Combined population, 175 million Arabs. Okay, that's very big. Only one Jewish state, a population of 5 million. Okay. Population ratio, 43 to 1. So who will win? You want to take a bet? You want to gamble? What is the chances of Israel winning 43 to 1? Huh? And the Arab states contain 5.3 million square miles of oil-rich land. Now, this is using America because you want to use kilometer, then you have to convert yourself. Huh? Israel only have 8,000 square miles of land. Are there any oil that they discovered? Recently was told that, they discovered someplace outside the sea, just underneath the coastline or something like that. So, I don't think Israel is interested in getting those. Israel is trying to keep the peace, trying to maintain their life and live peacefully. Okay? But they did a lot of our own research for the welfare of the people of the world. And they are not selfish to share. You know that? Huh? Okay? So what is the land ratio? 662 to 1. Wow. Imagine that. Huh? Now, here you have the Arabic world. Now, you look at it, you can see that there are actually 21 nations. Alright. So you are running around to find, all you have to do is look at the star. Count how many stars there are, and there are 21 here. The stars here, of course, are the capital of the Arab nation. 21 Arab nations. And what is Israel? Right there. Right there. Huh? There's no chance for that little state of Israel to survive. I mean, these are Arab states. Okay, the Arab nations. But what about here? Iran, Persia. But they are also against Israel. What about Turkey here? There are a lot of people out there, they are Arab. Huh? What about all the way east? Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Pakistan, a lot of Muslims. Huh? You have. See, the problem we have right here now today is Yemen. There is a war going on right now with Somalia. They fight among themselves. And here we have Saudi Arabia. Right. That's the capital, Riyadh. Qatar, Bahrain, United Emirates, Republic Emirates. Over here, Kuwait. Yeah. Jordan. Okay. Syria. Strangely, we know that Egypt, they are not Arab. Egypt is Egyptian. Right? But how come they become Arab? Egypt as an kingdom, as empire, actually loses its power when they start embracing all these Arabic, you know, the Arabic lifestyles and the culture. They are very simple people. In fact, it is true that if you go over to all these desert areas, you go up there as a tourist, you'll find those nomads living in tents, right? The Bedouin, right? Do you know they're very hospitable people? Yeah, they are very hospitable. You know, they are very warm people. And a simple lifestyle. And so they were influenced by, because of the trade, the country trade with these Arabic people. So they become Arabized. You know, and so Egypt today, you will know what happened to the Egyptian language. It's gone. Practically it's gone, like Latin. Who speaks Latin today? Except the Catholic priest. You know. So, what about Egyptian language? It's almost, we don't hear it. See, what do they speak then? Arab. The Arab language, Arabic. See, alright? Now, Israel and the Arabs. Now, we want to talk about who is this Ishmael. Because now we are talking about this war, this approaching war. It has to do with the Ishmael and Ishmaelites. But who is Ishmael and who are the Arabs? Now, we read in Genesis 16:12 that God spoke to his mother while he was still in the womb. Remember how that, you know, he was thrown out? And God told Hagar that he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hands against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. In the presence of all his brethren, they are all right there in the Middle East. Isn't it so? Yes. Alright. So the Ishmaelites are not Arab, per se. They are not really Arab. You get what I'm saying? Like if we Chinese, if we're Singaporean, go, okay, here we have maybe like a Sister Valley or Sister Cora and family there. If they got Singapore citizenship, they are not Singaporean per se. You know what I mean? They're Filipinos. So, but how is it that the Israelites here are called Arabs? But they are not really Arabs. So who are the Arabs? Now, the original Arabs are traced back to Shem's lineage from the descendant of Jordan in southern Arabia. So let us look it in chapter 10 of Genesis. Alright, chapter 10 of Genesis and verse 21 to 30. So it's interesting to know that the Arabic people actually came from Shem's line. Huh? Is that right? Okay. Unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the other, even to him were children born, the children of Shem, Elam, Ashu. And that's where you get this Assyria. The Arpachshad and the Lord and the Aram, the children of Aram, Ush, Hol, Gidal, and Mar. And Arpachshad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his day was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Jordan, and Jordan begat Amodad, Shelef, and Hazammabed, and Jezra, and Hadoram, Uzza, Dela, and Oba, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophi, and Havilah, and Jobah. All these were the sons of Jordan, and their dwelling was from Mishah, as thou go unto Shephar, a mouth of the east. So where is this? This is an old name that you don't find in your atlas map. But we'll look into it. Now, here we have. This is a very well-known area. You know where this place is? Saudi Arabia. Okay, the Red Sea. Okay, Mediterranean Sea. The Gulf. And here we have the river Euphrates and Tigris. And the river Nile. So you all know this map well. If you do not know, means you have not been living on this earth. Okay. Alright, here we are. This is where the Arab lives. Okay, Jordan, they get all these names that you see here. They live in this region. And then one of the names that is well known is Sheba. And Sheba is right over here. Alright, Amodad is somewhere around here. So, Yemen, that's why Yemen, they are pure Arab. These are the real Arab people. Now, Esau's descendants, they were called what? Edomites. Ammonites. Who is Ammon? Who was Ammon? Who was Ammon? One of the sons of Lot by his daughter. Right? Moab is the same. Moabites, Ammonites, but they were not Arabs. So when you use the word Arabs, it's a word somehow came in when these people of Jordan lived around here. Okay, alright. So what about Ishmael and his descendants? Okay. Genesis 21:21. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. What did he expect his mother to do? His mother was an Egyptian, remember? So when Abraham threw him out and his mother out, the mother took him to live in the land of Paran. Okay, then, according to the Jewish writers, now this is what you'll find in the Bible. Okay, I know that men like this, they don't just get one wife. So I did the research and found that, in fact, Yeah, one wife he divorced and then he married. And then it was written that Ishmael had actually another wife, Moabitess, alright, for wife. So he at least two wives. One, he actually three, when he married, he divorced and then married again. So he actually two living wives with him. Interesting, huh? Okay. So here we have. So where is Paran? Where is Paran? Hagar took him to live in Paran. Paran is right up here. Okay. So you can see that. It's too far away for you to see, huh? Okay, that's Paran. Paran is right here. Okay. Now, next. So who are the Ishmaelites? Now, we want to establish this is because we all know, even in the Bible, very strangely, you know that the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, and all these other, they are not like the Ishmaelites at that time, the descendant of Ishmael. The Ishmaelites have they wear a earring. You know. So sometimes the people have their own special, if you go to Africa, if you go to Nigeria, the first time I was in Nigeria, when I saw those brothers, and they all have different marking, you know, cut. They use razor blade and cut their forehead or on the cheeks. One, some of them, two. Then I was on the, and I was wondering, this must be tribal mark to mark them. So I asked the brother, say, what tribe are you from? I'm from Uruba. And the other one from, I don't know what, I can't remember all his name. So you notice the difference. So when they were born, the parents cut, of course they don't practice it, you know, now on their children, they don't. You see, because cutting a face, and it's against the word of God. Okay, so the people going to tattoo themselves, you know, cutting marks. So this is what, back in those ancient times, tribes always want to be, they want to show a little different from the others by, you know, the way they dress. You go to Thailand, those with the long neck, those who dress quite differently, or like in China, those different area trouble, they dress differently to denote their tribe. Right? Okay, so who are the Ishmaelites? Genesis 25, 13 to 16 says that these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generation. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nabayok and Kadal and Abiel and Musam. It's an Arabic name pronounced as Musam, Mushmar, Duma, Masa, Hada, Tema, Jetu, Nafis, and Kadema. So these are 12 sons. Just like Israel had 12 sons. So God is not unfair anyway. Okay? After all, if Jacob had that, so God gave it to this man too. Okay. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And they dwell from Havilah unto Shur, and that is before Egypt as you go towards Assyria. So, where did the Ishmaelites? So they went out from the wilderness of Paran. Alright? They were in the wilderness. He lived there. And now the people, their 12 sons, they all went out. So they didn't go this way at first. They go this way. So this is where they were. Havilah. That is sure. And that is their area where they come. Assyria is up here. So this is a big place. That's why this is virtually, that's why it's called Arabia. Arabia. Interesting, this is where they are. Of course, people migrate, they do trade, they mix with others. Okay? So now, here we are, and according to Genesis, and these are the name of the son of Ishmael, and they dwell from Havilah to Shur, that is before Egypt, as you go towards Assyria. Alright. The Ishmaelites intermarried with other races. Obviously, people intermarried. Right? But as for the children of Israel, they were forbidden to intermarry, actually. But you know how some of them married even the Canaanites. Huh? So we have today a lot of Jews are not pure Jews anymore. They mixed with others. But there are those that were kept to their lineage. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wife which he had, Mahala, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. So this is Esau's third marriage. Married Ishmael's daughter, Mahala, or another place they call Bathsheba. Okay, so you see the intermarriage between Esau's line and Ishmael's line. Ishmael came from Abraham. Esau also came from Abraham. So they cross and they join. Alright. Then we have the Ishmaelites as they mix with the Arabs, absorb the Arabic culture and lifestyle. So now we know that as people began to intermarry, all those other princes, they also intermarried with those where they migrate also. I've given you an example that the people tend to intermarry when they live among the others. Alright? So over time they became Arabs, calling themselves Arabs. The Egyptians are not Arabs, but they call themselves Arabs. You understand? You know. But sometimes they will say, like over in Lebanon, the Arabs are there. But the brothers who are there, who are born there, they don't call themselves Arab. They call themselves Lebanese. Of course, when you are Egypt, you are born in Egypt, you call yourself Egyptian. Whether you are Chinese or Indian, you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You see? And just like Adam, my grandson, he's born there over in America, he is American. He got an American passport, he's called American. But he's not American, really. His gene is not American. Alright. Okay. So now, here we are, I'm Chinese, but we call ourselves Singaporean Chinese, right? So the difference. Alright, Chronicles, 1 Chronicle, chapter 132. Now the son of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, Sheba, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, and Midian, and Ishba, and Shua, and the son of Joshan, Sheba, and Dedan. You know, Sheba and Dedan are famous. You can read them many times in the Bible. How many wives or spouse, here's the word, not concubine or not concubine, did Abraham have? How many? Four? Three, two, one. You have Hagar. You have Sarah. Hagar. And Keturah. After Sarah died, Abraham remarried Keturah. Okay? And she bare all this. So here we have now this, what the additional added into the population. Huh? From now, you have Abraham's second or third wife, or third spouse, you will say. Right? Hagar has Ishmael. Sarah had Isaac, Jacob, down the line. And now here we have another one, Keturah side. So all were all related to Abraham. That's why the Arab were very proud of being Arab. They can claim Abraham. Do you understand? They have every right to claim Abraham. Sure, because they all trace back to Abraham. Are you traced back to Abraham? Not in the physical blood, but the spiritual blood of Christ, but traced back to Abraham. Is that not right? You understand? Okay. Alright. So now, look at the countries here. I'm just putting the name of the country. Syria, up there. Syria, today Syria is part of Assyria. Because Syria here is, Syria is pretty big all the way up, but Sirius is just slightly smaller than the Sirius we know today. Okay, and then we have Ammon that is there on that side, and then we have the Moabite, and then we have the Edomite. Okay, and we have Persia over there. Big country, big empire back in those days. And we have Turkey out there. Now, this is a country here that have a lot of Arab people living here. Of course, Persia is no longer Persia today. Persia is now divided into two in those days. Of course, one part here is Iran, this part here is Iraq. All right. And then here we have the migration out there going this way as they mix with the Egyptian going this way. And then we also have the going downward as well. So this, we can see how the people of Ishmaelites, the Arab or those that descend from, of course, Abraham to Shem's line. Okay, they're all going back to Shem's people as well. Okay, now, this is the Arabic world, as you can see. From here, they have migrated this way. Okay, and downward here, Somalia. Now here, this nation here, what is the name of this nation? You should know. Ethiopia. Now Ethiopia is Ethiopian. You know, they are not Arab. Huh? They speak their own language. Okay? But Ethiopia plays a part, not in this coming, well, in this present conflict, but in the next one that is to come, that will follow immediately after this. We know that it's so close. This one in Psalms 83, when it's triggered out, it will trigger Ezekiel 38:39. Right? Okay. Israel's torn. Wow. Israel's torn in 38, Psalms 83, 1 to 8. And we read on early on. You see? Now, Israel's torn. When Abraham was, or Abraham, when God called him to get out of Mesopotamia to go to Canaan, who went with him? His nephew Lot. No, Lot was not called, but usually we all make mistakes. Like it or not, no matter how special you are that God called you to be a prophet or an apostle, people make mistakes. And I guess that Abraham loved his nephew Lot, so he said, okay, you want to come, you come along. He never said, no, it's only for me. Very probably Lot said, you're very unselfish grandfather. Uncle. You know, so nobody would say no, usually we always give it, right? So, okay, come along. And so, from Lot's side, you know what the problem starts. And then later, what happened to Lot? Huh? What happened to his wife? When they went to Sodom and Gomorrah and God destroyed the two cities. Lot was turned into a pillar of salt. And then Lot was so drunk that his two daughters, you know, were slapping him and fathered Edom, or Moab and Ammon. And so they're all kind of related all over the place here in all this Middle East condition. As far as the Ishmaelites, the Esau, the Ammonites. So these are the torn. And so so we have Psalms 83 verse 1 to 8. All those countries that are mentioned there, have to deal with these people. Very similar to these people. Okay, we look here. Keep not thou son, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For Lord, thy enemies make a tumult, and they have hit thee, that head thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and counsel against the hidden one. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance, for they have counseled together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacle of Edom, Ishmaelite, Moab, the Hagarite. So you see the familiar name here? Okay, you know who Edom is? Right. The Ishmaelite, Moab, the Hagarite, from from Hagar's line, Hagar's side, Gabal, which of God, I'll give you the name later, Ammon, Amalites, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tara. Also he joined with them, they have helped the children of Lot, Salah. Okay, let's look at this. Psalms 83 coalition. Here we have the tent of Edom. They are the descendants of Esau. You know Edom, the Edomite is descendant of Esau. And today in the map, you look at it, you place them as Palestinian refugees, the Southern Jordanian. Okay, because there is in the map, old map, you find the place. Okay? So in today's modern map, you know, we try to say these are the people, okay? You understand what I'm saying? If you say Little India in Singapore, you know where it is, Serangoon Road. But let's say 100 years from now, the world still exists and Singapore still here, and the people all changes, huh? So people say Little India, you will say still in Serangoon Road, even though the people have changed. Alright, the dwelling may have changed and all that. Okay, so the Ishmaelite, the Saudi Arabian, because they move all over to the whole area of the Saudi Arab or the Arabian area. Okay, then we have Moab, the Palestinian refugees, and Central Jordanian. The Hagarines or the Hagarites are the Egyptians, because that's where Hagar came from. Remember. Okay. Geba is northern Lebanese. Okay. Ammon, the Palestinian refugees and northern Jordanian. Remember the map earlier you see. You saw it here, or you saw it earlier on. Amalek, the Arab south of Israel. The Philistine or the Philistia, the Palestinian refugees and the Hamas of the Gaza Strip. They want to call themselves Palestinian. They never exist. Okay? That's what we call Philistine. That's the area. Inhabitants of Tyre, the Hezbollah and southern Lebanese. That's what Tyre is. I went there to Beirut. I went to Tyre. And of course, you always see soldiers walking around and all that. And so, that's where Hezbollah actually were. Okay? They really are there. And the other one is the Hamas, then in the southern part. Okay, here I have Assur or Assyria, the Syrian and perhaps northern Iraqis included. Okay, because in ancient time, this Assyria included part of Iraq. Alright? Children of Lot, not that's Moab and Ammon. So here you look at the map. See, Jordan, Gaza Strip here. Alright, the Ammon is the Ammon area is down here also. Syria is here. Okay. Lebanon. This is where the Saudi Arabia is. So, look at the map, because this war is going to come. We are going to see when this war is going to come. The coming Ezekiel war. We all are familiar with the story, the prophecy about the Ezekiel war. Ezekiel 38-39. Is that right? Yes? But this is not a war to be fought yet. Until the one in Psalms 83 takes place first. Huh? So Ezekiel 38-39. We are all familiar with that. See? So here we have the Gog and Magog coalition now. If we just look at all this, then we see how the scripture bring about and show us the war, how it would be fought. Okay, before we go, let's go to Ezekiel 38-39. And we just look at the first few verses first. Ezekiel 38-39. Just Ezekiel 38. Okay, here we have chapter 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, or I will turn you around and put hook. Now that's a King James. Oh, King James, is the word turn thee back is not right. I'll turn you around. Oh, okay? And put hooks into your jaws, and will bring thee forth, and all thy enemy, and all thy army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor. Even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. So this is a coalition of Gog and Magog, a Russian. But in Psalms 83, who was the head? It was Edom. He was the head who was listed as the first, the tenth of Edom. But this one is Gog and Magog's coalition, or Russia. Okay, Magog, Rush, Russia and the former Soviet Republic. Persia is Iran, we all know that very well. Okay, many of them still say, I'm Persian. If you go to Iran, and you meet any Iranian, they learn this. They say, are you Iranian? Ah, yes, I'm Persian. They write your word, Persian. And so he's got a name, huh? It's a very ancient name. Alright. Kush. Kush is Sudan, Ethiopia, and maybe Eritrea. Eritrea is a very small nation in the region of Ethiopia. So why is it Kush? You know who Kush is? In the Bible, Kush. You remember who Kush is? The father of Nimrod. That's the son of Ham. And Kush, after the migrate, went down to the area where we have Ethiopia today, Sudan in that area, Eritrea all in that area. Okay? So, we only look at this by identifying the region. Okay, alright. So, put as Libya, Algeria, and Tunisia. What we saw on the first map, we can see all the northern coast of Africa. Alright? And then we have Gomer. It's a name that is associated possibly with Germany. Alright? And actually, is the area where it is, Gomer is, where original Gomer lived in a drought in those early days. People tend to be saying that that's the area where the Germanic people dwell today. Alright? People migrate, border changes. Alright? Meshach and Tubal, of course, that's people related to Turkey, but Meshach and Tubal is Muscovite and or Tubal to Bush area. But these are the children, of course, coming down from Japheth's line, the Japhetic line. Okay? And then we have the house of Togarmah. The house of Togarmah. Togarmah is related to the area of Turkey, Armenian region, the Turkish-speaking people of Asia Minor and Central Asia. Now, so if you look at this coalition here, okay, it's different from the one over in Psalms 83. Is that not true? There are two different groups, of nations. Are you aware? You see. Alright. Okay, that's the end of it. Now, let us look into some verses of scripture as we close. Then we'll continue next week. Obadiah. Okay, Obadiah chapter 1, 15 to 16. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return unto return upon thy own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountains, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Now, that's the prophecy concerning Edom's fate. The first part of verse 15 says, "For the day of the Lord is near." Now, when you get this phrase, "For the day of the Lord is near," it shows that this war hasn't been fought yet. Because the day of the Lord points to the coming of the Lord. Got it? So, and this war will not be fought after the day of the Lord. Okay? It's just before the day of the Lord. It's just before the Lord's come. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the day of the Lord actually will cover the time when the church is taken away, the believer is taken away, and then the 70th day of Daniel comes in. Because God returned back to Israel, it will be their day. And they are looking for the day of the Lord. We are not looking for the day of the Lord. Because the day of the Lord is a terrible day when God will have to execute judgment dealing with Israel, and as for the rest of the world, be affected. You got it? So this war, therefore, as we read here, is yet to come, as God will deal with Edom, the Edomites. Because he was the leader of the Psalms 83 coalition, the tabernacles of Edom. Alright, now let's go to Ezekiel 25. Ezekiel 25, verse 13 to 14. 25 verse 13 to 14. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Tamar, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will say, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel." Now, watch this phrase. "I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God." So, by the hand of my people Israel. So, this is not a war that God is actually fighting for Israel in a sense. Because he said, by the hand of my people Israel. And it's to say that God will help Israel, no doubt, but it will be a war that Israel will have to fight. The Israel Defense System, or Israel Defense Force. And you know how that the Six Days War is a good example. Right? Israel fought back during those 6 days war against Jordan, against Egypt, against Syria, against the Lebanese, all round about. And God delivered them through the army of Israel. But in Ezekiel 38-39, who will be fighting that war? It won't be Israel. It be God. So, what I'm trying to show you here from the Bible is that what we are looking at now with all the conflict in the Middle East, this conflict will escalate to where Israel will have to fight again and all this. And we know also one place, we'll come back to it next week, is that Damascus is a good example. Now, Syria in the north is, you know, a lot of countries supported Syria. And they're all using that area to fight. Those from Iran, you know, the Shiite group, and then ISIS, and all these different groups. And the Bible said that Damascus will be destroyed.
You know about it, don't you?
It's been prophesied that Mexico will be destroyed.
Huh?
So all this that we are seeing right now, the conflict with Iran, America, well, and the UN, trying to get Iran not, you know, to go ahead with their and uranium enrichment, and they are trying to get, you know, to slow down, give them some concession of this and that, or else they put sanction on there. You think Iran borders? Those people in power, they do not really care for their people. When the world puts sanction on them, of course they don't have public food, no trading, all these things. So, you don't think the people around there, the people up there in power, care for it? Huh? Whether you like it or not, no matter how the deals go, all these talks and all that, round number one, round number two, fail, I can go round number three, and you can go around number 5, number 10, number 20, number 101, they will still not be satisfied. Because why? There's only one thing in the mind of the Iranian. People like Abu bin Najaf, death to Israel. The country cannot exist as far as he's concerned. Not only him, Gaddafi, huh? The Hamas, yes, all those, Arafat. You name any of these leaders, they will all be in agreement to destroy Israel. But what is going to trigger off now? That we are all watching. Now, we are all, you know one thing about this war that is coming, 83, immediately after 83 takes place, I can tell you one thing for sure. Israel 38, 39 will take over. Because why? It's a war that will escalate. To this one big war, as people will call it, World War III. And you know what we see in scripture? There's always the number 3. The First World War, the Second World War. It's a World War. It's not just a Middle East War. It's a World War. This one in Psalms 83 is the Middle East conflict. This is just the Middle East problem. But when World War III comes down, when Russia comes down, when God put the hooks and bring them down, start World War III. You know. So, and you know one thing for sure. You look at the Second World War. When Second World War took place over in Europe, and suddenly you find that here in Asia, Japan joined in the fight. Huh? So, one will lead to another. Okay, so here now. In this, Ezekiel here we read in chapter 25, God will use the hand of Israel to fight, and they will win. But the winning is very short term, because it will definitely lead to Ezekiel 38, 39. Go to Jeremiah 49. Here we already read early on in Jeremiah 49, two more verses. Jeremiah 49, and we have verse 8. Verse 8. Flee ye, turn back, draw deep, all inhabitants of Dedan. I will, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. So here is a warning to the Saudis, not to engage in this war, not to engage themselves, take side with the Palestinians, these Edomites, the PLO, the Hamas, they want Israel to die. Flee! Is that right? Why is that verse? Verse 8. Yeah. Flee! Turn back! Draw deep all inhabitants of Dedan. Oh, they were instructed going to flee, but would they do that? Huh? But you know what? In Ezekiel 25, 13, what do we see? Ezekiel 25 and verse 13. Therefore, thou said the Lord, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom. But the Palestinian, not this Hamas group, this Hezbollah group, and all these people that want to kill Israel, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Tamar, and there of Dedan shall fall by the sword. Even the Saudi Arabia. Now they heed. Because over in the book of Ezekiel 38, 39 or 38, when the army came down, Dedan and Sheba says, what are you coming down for? Are you coming down to take a spoil? Well, it seems that they were saying, what are you coming down to do to Israel? Are you coming down to take a spoil? And that's what we read that. And found out that, said, all right, you're coming down and take a spoil. We will join you instead. You know. Because already we see in this verse of 25, Ezekiel, Dedan will also fall. So now, in closing, we'll see that the conflict at this present time will escalate to where all these talks about the uranium enrichment program. Whatever the outcome, I believe that Israel will attack and destroy it. And if they were to attack and destroy it, something is going to, this will spark to bring about Ezekiel 38:29. God will use that as a hook. Because who is supporting Iran? Iran? Do you know that Russia is supporting Iran? Yeah. You destroy Iran, we will not give it to you. They have been reported. You see, if you destroy Iran, we'll come after you. So say the chief out there in Russia. So what do you think is going to happen? But in this present time, with all this talk, with all the conflict right down there, what about Damascus? It's a city, the oldest city mentioned in the Bible. God said, it shall be a ruin. It will be destroyed completely. When would it be? So we are now 2015. And people are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not beyond 2019. So we have about 4 years left. And in Israel today, the Kohen, you know those who are Kohens? They are from the tribe of Levites. Those who are going to be priests, they already go through an education. The weapon training. And they have been always looking for a red heifer. They had it back in 2000 something. And they were willing to, they were ready to sacrifice it when, after a certain age, but then they found, oh, he has some white hair on it. So they reject it. So they keep looking, 2007, and they keep on looking for one that is pure heifer red for the sacrifice. In the meantime, they went through the ritual of sacrificing. They practiced. You can see it on the YouTube. You can see it on the Israel's network. How did they learn to blow the seventh trumpet? They are ready to bring back that temple. How close are we at now? 2015, almost we are halfway, we are only one-third through the year. How about next year? 2016. How soon? Very fast enough. But don't get scared. Get excited. But don't get so excited that you don't want to study. And then you don't want to go to work and go to retire. No. As Bob Rafferty would say, when you need to plant potato, you plant potato. Is that right? So that when Jesus comes back, he still sees you proper better than everything that you do, knowing that he comes for you, so he knows that he's coming for you. So when he comes for you, he's glad that you are busy planting potato as you should be. You understand what I'm saying? Live as you ought to live as a Christian. But we look forward to his coming and be ready. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray the Lord as we look into thy word concerning this last day, the war that must come, the invasion against Israel. To destroy Israel, O Lord, your prophecy, your word must be fulfilled. How did the enemy so wish to have Israel destroyed? But we know, Lord, you will be always for Israel, and your word will never fail. And in all this that we see that must happen, we are looking for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, as time rolls, we ask that your prophecy, O Lord, that we see upon the horizon being fulfilled, that it strengthen us. Strengthen our walk with Jesus Christ from day to day. We ask for your grace, your strength, O Lord, to be with us. In faith, in spirit, in truth, in love, in all that we should be, Father, in the virtue of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, we commit today into your hand, and that you bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.